what I'm doing is Sunday morning, getting ready for the sermon and the service. What do you mean, what am I doing?
I'm just, well, you know what? Speaking of sermon, I thought I could help you with that.
No, you can't. You can't help me with that.
I can't. No, I have, just have
no,
an idea.
No, I help you. You don't help me. I'm big dog, you little puppy.
Okay, okay. I see you're in your judgment seat vibe. But let me just, I got an idea because we've got the families, we've got the kids who haven't been in here to be at the judgment seat. We just need to make sure, kind of warm them up. I just got a few questions I want to ask
you. The judgment seat is serious. I mean, you can't be casual with the judgment seat.
So, no, I understand that, but we don't have to be there today. We're just learning, and I want to make sure that we just bring them in. So just let me, just trust me.
Why are you here?
I'm your son. I'm at your church.
Yeah, well, then be a son and be silent.
listen. You're in your mode, dun dun dun. But we need to just bring it down just a little bit. Let me just bring a few questions before your sermon, just to kind of personalize it and help people be equipped with how they can equip others.
Well, let's hurry up and get it done, because they didn't come to hear you ask me nothing. They came to hear what God has to say.
Okay, come on. You're in your mode. Let's just go. Let's go out there. Let's preach the sermon. Oh, wait a minute. But before we go, actually, can we bring this down just a little bit? It's Family Worship Sunday. You told me we're going into August. It's casual month, and you've been suiting it, judgment seat of Christ in it every week. Let's just bring it down this Sunday. I got something for you.
I think I'm okay like I am.
I know you do. But let me just, trust me. I mean, I just want to give you a little drip.
Drip? This look like water? No, what do you mean drip? I'm fine like
I'm
I am.
I'm talking about fashion. Drip. Listen, I mean, even Kirk does it at the Kingdom Tour. He had on his jean jacket, your chest all out. People still praising
you. You see how small he is? That's a toddler. I'm a grown man.
Okay. Just trust me. Let me just bring it down a little bit. It's Family Worship Sunday. We're going into casual month. And let's just bring it down. Can we do that? I got something for you.
All right.
Okay, let's go. It's in there.
Drippity drip. I look good in anything.
You do. You look real good. You got your shirt on.
Hey.
You got your hoodie. You're doing it for the kids. They out there in the audience. They like, oh, come on, Dad. You got
what?
Your church shoes on?
What? It's church.
Come on, man. You used to pick us up at school like this. It's embarrassing, bro. We got to get you right. But I knew you were going to do it. So I brought something for you. Look at these Jordans. You got to have these on. This is, we'll finish it out for today. Remember, Family Worship Sunday, you're doing it for the kids. You all right? Let's do it. Let's put these on. I got you. Just trust me. All right, you ready?
Let's go for it.
Let's go.
Let's hit it.
I'm excited. Let's
it's
get
time.
It going.
It's time. It's time. It's time.
I love it. Let's go. It's going to be a great time. We getting it.
Yep, it's Sunday. It's time. It's time.
And accountability to God. And we're bringing all families in, young people are in the room. And so we want to ask him a few questions that can arm us practically, because we want to disciple one another on the field so that when the head coach sees us, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And so before he goes into his sermon, I want to ask you, first of all, when did you know that you were destined to follow Christ? And what are some practical things your parents did to cultivate you as a child?
Well, my father got saved. He was 30 years old. He led my mother to Christ. He gathered the four children around the kitchen table, shared the gospel with us, and the four of us accepted Christ. So I was about 11 then. Then he took us to a Bible teaching church and did not ask us if we wanted to attend. We had to go every Sunday, and unless you were dying with a doctor's note. And so I was raised from 11 on, I was raised in a very strong, Christocentric, theocentric, bibliocentric, God-centered environment with my parents and with the influences that they gave me. At 18 is when I felt the call to ministry. So it was their atmosphere that they created all the time, that you kept running into God no matter where you went. If it was Friday night and I was going out somewhere, even though I was a little older then, he would say, remember Jesus is with you, don't embarrass him.
Judgment scene. Listen, so, but the thing is, I think a lot of people think, well, that's Tony Evans, that's Arthur Evans, Evelyn, I mean, that's the Evans household, but a lot of people need to know that that was a new Christian household. They had just become Christians. At what age had they become Christians?
30, 30. 30 years
At 30, they had become Christians. And so just talking about how people who are new at this, you don't have to be a preacher in ministry. You just take your salvation seriously.
Right. It's supposed to be a way of life, and it's supposed to start with the family. The family is supposed to be the foundational place where Christian values are seen and where they are transferred.
What struggles, what biggest struggles did you have in life, and how did you overcome it?
Well, as a child, I had a major speech impediment. I had to go to, I had to get speech therapy. So who would have known that talking would be my life later on? But I couldn't string a sentence together, and I went through speech therapy, and that process helped. When I was in seminary, I thought we were going to have to drop out number of times because we couldn't afford it, and God would come through at the last minute. It was during those times where I saw some of God's suddenlies, and so even when the church ran into problems at times, and we didn't even know where we were going to worship at one time, and God suddenly came through. So I learned suddenly through those last minute moments. Of course, the biggest challenge was the eight losses that we had as a family in 2 years. And that last month when my father died in November, your mother, my wife, died in December, and I was toggling back and forth to fly back to Baltimore to look after my father, to fly here, to look after your mother. That was probably the most difficult time I've ever faced, but God had given me history with him for that time.
That's great. I think it's important that we just equip for a moment. We're talking about, making the best choices. And that's what you're going to be talking about. And how do we, what are some strategies that we can equip families with, or people without immediate family, but everybody has family, coworkers, friends, for discipling people to take this seriously as we take it seriously?
Well, starting with the family, obviously, using the mealtime as a time not just to eat, but to reestablish values and to teach, to review with your children what they learned in youth church or children's church, to take clips from what you heard in the main service and use those clips to discuss with your family. Every dinner time should be a discipleship time, and maximize that moment. And then in your sphere of influence, taking natural opportunities for your faith to be reflected in discussions, in interactions, in your decisions. As your faith is reflected, then people can see you take your faith seriously and not just in church.
Is it true that the judgment seat of Christ is not just for our actions, but for also how our actions mess up other people?
Yeah, there are the implications that when our actions have wounded other people, Jesus said it would be better to have a millstone around your neck than to let your actions be destructive to other people. So it's not just about you. It's about you and them as you connect with other people.
I'll leave this final question before you roll into choices. Some people say the culture is kind of like this I'm a do me spirit, my own truth, those things, and it's not a big deal. We use God's grace against him. And we say, as long as I've heard people say, only God can judge me. And he will. But we use that often as a cop out for accountability. Only God can judge me so I can do what I want to do. So talk about that statement and the fact that I'm going to get in because I'm saved. So as it relates to the judgment seat of Christ, I think we forget that point.
Well, Paul says in Romans 11, knowing the kindness and severity of God. We talk about one side of God, but not both sides of God. And God is a savior and a judge. What he wants us to do is for him to judge us now so he doesn't have to judge us later. So that's why accountability is critical now, so that we're able to get things right now, so that the judgment changes when we're with him, because we've made adjustments before we got to him.
Y'all give it up for your pastor, rolling with the punches, as he talks about choices.